together. We're going to continue on this morning in our sermon series talking about I am a church member. Over the last few weeks, we have talked about how as a church member, we will be unifying church members. We've talked about our role as functioning church members. And this morning, I want to talk about and look at what God's Word says about our role as church members in ensuring that we do not allow church to be about our preferences and our desires. Amen? Amen. Not about what we choose or what we desire, but rather about what the Lord wants. The book of Mark, chapter 9, verses 33 through 37. I'd ask if you would stand with me as we give honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God. The Word of God says it this way. And they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What are you discussing on the way?" But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And they sat down, and he sat down and called the 12 and says to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." And he took a child and put him in the midst of them, and taking him in his arms, he says to them, "Whosoever receives one such child in my name receives me. And whosoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." Let us pray. You may be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity that you've given us to be here in your house today. Lord, we thank you for the beautiful sunshine. We thank you for just the blessing and the gift of life. And Lord, I want to pray this morning not only for our services here, but I want to uplift and pray for our youth this morning. Lord, as they are in another community, in another home church this morning, where they are worshiping in a community, Lord, with new believers. And Father, I just pray for them that, Lord, their worship services would be blessed this morning. But Lord, Father, I pray that it also be a moment in a time where you open up their eyes. Lord, it was a blessing for me to see the pictures that have been sent to me of our youth in a community interacting with those who so desperately need to hear about Christ and His love. So Lord, Father, I pray for them and I uplift them this morning and ask for an upliftment in our services as well. Lord, Father, I'd ask that this morning you use me as a mouthpiece and as a tool and nothing more for your honor and your glory. Lord, I pray that you teach us from your Word today that it's not about self, that it's not about I, it's not about what we want, it's not about our desires, but Lord, it's all about you. It's what you want in the life of our church. And Lord, I pray, Father, that as church members, you teach us how to put aside self, that we would reduce ourselves, that we would allow ourselves to decrease, as John said it, so that you might have the increase. So Lord, here this morning, we just give it all to you. We pray and ask it in your holy, precious name. Amen. Amen. And talking about being a church member, we've talked about being that unifying church member. We've talked about being that functioning church member. But I believe it's also vitally important that if we're going to be successful as godly church members and active church members, that it's important that we see that church is not about what we want. It's not about how I want it. It's not about my preferences, but it's about what God wants the church to be. That should be our purpose and our mission, that we would be the church that the Lord would have us to be. Not the church that we would want Buena Vista to be, but the church that He would choose for us to be in this community, in this place, in this season, and in this time. You know, I think it's interesting in Christ interacting with His disciples as they were traveling to Capernaum. In this instance of the Scripture, we see that as they were traveling, the disciples were discussing amongst themselves who was the greatest among them. If you could imagine that, walking in the presence of Jesus Christ and having the audacity to discuss among yourselves who is the greatest. Anybody else see the irony in all that? I do. I love that story because here are these men, these earthly men who are so sinful in their nature are walking in the very presence of God. Christ is literally the incarnation of God on earth, and they're walking in His presence and they have the audacity to say, "Who amongst us is the greatest?" And they get into this debate about who amongst them is better than the other. Church, I want us to see that church is more than just who is the greatest among us. How great can I make church? Can church be about me? I want us to move beyond that, and I want church to be about Him. And I want to be the body of believers that He wants us to be. And in order to do that, one of the things that we have to do is we have to answer the call to serve others. Amen? And I want you to write this down. Take notes really quick. This message is going to be really condensed, and we're going to move through it quickly. But it's important that if we move beyond the desires of self, we have to see that serving as a church is about serving the needs of others. It's not about self. It's not about I. But it's about doing up for others as Christ did for them and as Christ did so for us. I think about John chapter 13. In John chapter 13, in this story of His gospel, I shared with this example many times before, but I want to share first quickly verses 1 through 5 where He says this. He says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He had come from God and was going back to God, He rose from supper, He laid aside His outer garment, and taking a towel, He tied it around His waist. Then He poured water into the basin and began to wash the feet of His disciples, and to wipe them with a towel that was wrapped around Him." You've heard me give this example, and you've heard me talk about this so many times before, the very significance of what Christ was doing, washing the dirty feet of His disciples. You know, in Islamic culture today, feet are still considered to be one of the nastiest, most disgusting parts of the human body. And one of the greatest insults that you can do in the Islamic culture is to show somebody the bottom of your foot. Why? Because it's this symbolism of everything that is dirty about your body, because you're walking around a lot of times in sandals or your bare feet in the dirty earth, in the dirty soil where there's excrements from animals and all these other things. So it was such an insult to show somebody, even in their culture today, to show somebody the bottom of your foot. Now to think about Christ, the Son of God, as we talked about earlier, the disciples walking along discussing who of us is the greatest among these in the presence of God Almighty incarnate through Christ Jesus. Now here in this example, Christ shows them what it truly means to be a humble servant. And He girded up upon Himself a slave's towel, because this was the role of the slave, or the role of a servant in the home, that they would wash the feet of those who came in. So Christ assumed upon Himself the role of a servant, but not just a servant, the role even so of a slave. And He washed the feet of His disciples. Now look at what it says in verses 12 through 17. He says, "When He had washed their feet and put upon His outer garment and resumed His place, He says to them, 'Do you understand what I have done to you?' He says, 'You call Me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because I am.' He says, 'If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Now, kind of in the midpoint of all of this interaction in these 17 verses, when Christ began to set about washing the feet of His disciples, Simon Peter had an issue with it. And he basically said, "Lord, You're not going to wash my feet." Why? Because Simon Peter looked upon the Lord and he knew that the Lord was something great and special, and he wasn't about to let the Lord wash his dirty, nasty feet. And I don't know about you, but I'm not crazy about feet either. The only way that feet should come is in socks and shoes. Amen? Amen. I mean, that's just the way that I am. And Peter says to the Lord, he says, "Lord, I don't want You to wash my feet." You know, and Christ goes through this example and He washes their feet. And He tells Peter, He says, "If you don't let Me wash your feet, you're no part of Me." And He teaches in this example, and He goes through this act of washing the feet of all of His disciples, even Judas, whom He knew already, as the Scripture said, that he was going to betray Him, and he still yet washed his feet. Why? He says, "I give you this example of love. I give you this example of truly what it means to be a servant." Church, that's what church is all about. Amen? being a servant and living by this example that Christ gives us. I think about Paul and his example in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7. He says this about being a servant. He says, "Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of His power." He says, "I was made a minister." In one example, I believe it's the King James, he says, "I was made a servant of the gospel." And I like that example. That's one example where I believe the King James really does a beautiful job of expressing the emotions and the intent of what Paul was trying to say. He says, "I become a servant of the gospel." That should be our desire as a church, that we become a servant of the gospel and we serve through Christ's example. In Titus chapter 1, verse 16, it's important that as a church we be known by our services. Amen? We'll be known by the way that we love one another is what Christ tells us. So not only will we be known by the way that we love one another, but I believe we will be known by the way that we serve others. Paul in his writing said it this way, Titus chapter 1 verse 16, he said, "They profess to know God, but they deny Him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for any good work." There are a lot of people that say that they know God, but I believe we'll be known by the love that we share for one another. And I believe in our love for God and in our love for one another, it is impossible to not serve one another. Amen? Christ in His love gave the ultimate example of servitude. The second thing that I want you to know about not making the church about our preference and our desire isn't just that it'll call us to serve others, but I want you to know that serving others will push us beyond the walls of this church. Next week, Andre is going to be up here and he's going to be sharing from the Word. And Andre is going to share a little bit also about their mission trip. And they'll share pictures with you. And Heather sent me some pictures this morning of their worship service. And literally, the worship service for the mission team this morning is in a low-income housing development center. Basically, kind of the little community park for that center. And they are having a worship service basically in that open-air community. And the pictures are beautiful. We've got all different kinds of beautiful faces, people from all different types of socioeconomic statuses, and they're sitting together to worship the Lord. I really do believe with all of my heart that in serving others, it moves and brings us beyond just the physical boundaries of this church. You see, when we talk about serving one another, it's not just about serving our brothers and sisters in Christ. I love serving you. You're my brothers and my sisters in Christ. But I believe that if we truly use the example that Christ gave, our servitude goes beyond just you. Just this body of believers, it goes beyond that. We need to take that example of serving others and loving others into the community. Amen? I don't believe you're with me this morning. Amen? Serving goes beyond the walls of this church. Serving should be not just serving one another, but serving those who truly need. I'm glad that you're here this morning, but if I were to take a poll, probably most of you all know the Lord. Most of you all would probably say, "Yeah, I have a relationship with Him. Yes, I'm saved. I've been saved for a number of years." There may be some of you here who don't know Christ. And I want you to know if you don't, you can be saved today. But I believe that there are far more people outside of this church who need to hear the gospel message and be shown God's love through Christ's example living in and through us than there is sitting here this morning. I really do believe that. We need to be pushed beyond the walls of this church to share and to show God's love. That's what He commands us to do. Matthew chapter 28 verses 19 and 20 says it this way. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And behold, I am with you always to the ends of the age." What did He say in verse 19? He says, "Take this message and make disciples of all nations." You know, in one other example through the Scripture, He says, "Go forth into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth." I'm a big believer that service does begin at home. I believe that. I believe that if you're going to begin to serve, you need to begin to serve here in your home church. But then it doesn't stop there, because Christ says, move beyond Jerusalem. Move beyond your home. He says, go to Judea, then go to Samaria, then go to the uttermost parts of the earth, serving and loving others. But sometimes we get hitches and giddy-ups sometimes that cause problems in the church. And we find that it's not always about serving others and moving beyond the walls of this church, but we become consumed with the way that things are right here. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I thought about this. As I began to think about 15 years of ministry, I began to think of some examples of where in pastorates that I have seen the church stop focusing on serving others and serving the community and become about self. I want to give you some examples, and you probably know well what some of these might be. I thought about the term worship wars. You know what the number one most hotly contested issue in churches today is in worship, in talking about worship service? The most hotly contested issue? Anybody want to guess? What is it?
Probably the screen and the music.
It's the music. It's the music. More people get upset about the style of worship and the music than they get upset about anything else in churches today. According to the polls, that's what they say. Man, how sad is that? That our focus has become about what song we will sing to what tempo. About how we would take a hymn and revamp it and make it something new. How that we would be concerned about the fact that we have a screen and that we put the Word of God on the screen. Things have changed in 15 years of ministry. You know, used to I packed a Bible into every service, and I always have a Bible. I do. I always have a Bible. But I will say this, over the years, it's become very accustomizing to have this screen, because there's a lot of people that don't have God's Word with them when they come to God's house. But it's good to be able to provide God's Word and have it on the screen. I'd much rather have it here on this screen than for you to sit there and not have a clue about what I'm reading to you about. That's dangerous business, folks. Amen? I could be up here saying anything in the world to you, and you probably wouldn't have a clue. But now that it's up here on this screen, you know that what I say is backed up by the Word of God. Amen? Serving others means we push beyond the walls of this church, but sometimes we become engulfed in worship wars about how the service itself will be, and we focus too much on that. What are some of the other issues that keep us as a church from focusing on serving others in the community? It's committees. Amen? It's committees. We have meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting, but then we don't do anything. We talk about and talk about and talk about what we're going to do, when we're going to do it, how we're going to do it, but we never actually do it. Amen? We never actually do it. There's nothing wrong with planning. Planning is important. You're foolish if you don't plan, is what the Word of God says. You know, it's important that we plan. But I want to tell you, we spend way too much talking about things, way too much time when we're going to do it and how we're going to do it, instead of just actually doing it. Church, if we spent more time just doing, I believe we'd be far better off. But we spend a lot of time talking about what we're going to do instead of actually doing it. You see, talking about what we're going to do makes us feel comfortable. But actually doing it means we have to go beyond the walls of this church. And that makes us uncomfortable sometimes. It's not only that, but I know in ministry over the years, sometimes our focus is taken off the community and serving others because we become focused upon the building. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We become focused on the building. I'll never forget in one of my pastorates, we did a complete remodel of our church in the sanctuary. The trustees, who were comprised all of men, decided on the color of the carpet. True story. And they didn't just decide on the color of the carpet. And if you know me, I'm fairly relaxed as a pastor. I don't ask a whole lot of you all. Anybody going to say amen?
Amen.
I don't ask a whole lot of you all. And if you don't believe me, you can ask those that are leaders in this church. You can ask Andre. You can ask Jason and Diane. You can ask Christy. Don't ask a whole lot. I'm pretty laid back. And of course, in that situation, I said, yeah, sure, whatever y'all think. So they ordered the carpet. They brought the carpet to be put down in the building. And one of the ladies who just so happened to live next door to the church saw the color of the carpet, and she didn't like it. And she got on the phone, and she probably called about 30 different ladies. And they came to the church to stop them from laying the carpet. Said, no, this is not going to be laid in the church. We do not like this color. And they stopped them, and the men just quit, and they called us, and we had to have a meeting to order a new color of carpet. And I want to tell you, it was a knockdown dragout for some of those ladies. They got really, really upset. And I'll never forget how much time was spent bickering about the color of carpet. I'll never forget, I don't remember the color that the men chose, but I'll never forget the color that the women chose. It was called Fawn Brown. F-A-W-N, Fawn Brown. I'll never forget that. We spent a lot of time talking about the color of carpet. And you know what? Almost 10 years later, I can still remember the name of the color of that carpet. How sad is that? That's pretty pitiful, isn't it? Pretty pitiful. Sometimes we forget about the focus of serving others and serving the community because we get caught up in stupid, ridiculous things like that. And yes, I just used the word stupid. Sometimes as a church, we get caught up in things like being program-driven. You see, sometimes programs are beautiful and they're great and they're good, but sometimes we become so caught up in the program that we forget what it really means to be serving in the church and to be serving in the community. You see, programs are something that make us feel comfortable because programs are very predictable. Programs are something that for most of us we're very accustomed to. We've done it for years. We like programs. And we become so program-driven that we forget what it means to be in the community serving as Christ would have us to serve. Sometimes we become so focused on our inward budget that it makes it impossible for us to serve in the community. Meaning this, that we focus our budget so much on the needs of the church here that we forget that there is monies that need to be spent out there. Amen? Monies that need to be spent out there. I can tell you that sometimes unrealistic pastoral demands makes it hard for a church to function in serving and loving others beyond the walls of this church. And I believe one of the greatest downfalls to serving outside of the walls of this church is evangelistic apathy. What's that mean? It means we just don't have the love and desire to tell others about Christ and how that they can be saved. That is the greatest downfall of the church today. You know, the KBC, the SBC, in conjunction with as many of the different state conventions as would participate, did a survey a number of years ago, sometime in the early 2000s, asking about how individual members shared their faith. More than 85% of Southern Baptists said that they have never personally shared with another person about Christ Jesus and how that they might be saved. Man, that's sobering numbers. And I ask you, how many of you have ever shared personally Christ Jesus and what He's done for your life? See, that in and of itself should motivate you and drive you to go beyond the walls of this building. You see, if we're going to make church not about us but about Him, be the church member that God wants us to be the church that God wants us to be, it's about answering the call to serve others. It's about serving others and serving others beyond the walls of this church. And the last thing I want you to know, and we're going to close quickly, is this, is that in order to do those things, in order to serve, in order to love like Christ wants us to love, and to love and serve in this community beyond the walls of this church, we have to put within ourselves the mind of Christ. We got to do things like the Lord wants us to do them, and we can only do that having the right mindset. Paul wrote to the church of Philippi, Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Praise and worship team, if you would, please come on. He says, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, Look at this. He says, if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, he says, complete my joy. Says Paul says, you're going to make my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and in one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. Look at this. Paul says to the church at Philippi, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. A lot of us in the church today, we serve not because it's by Christ's example, not because we love Him, but we serve because of selfish ambition. Sometimes we serve so we can say, look at me and look at what I have done. He says, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Man, isn't that a struggle? Looking at others and looking at their needs and their desires and making them more significant than our own. He says, let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have the mind among yourselves which is in yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born into the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and in earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is the example that we should take. I want you to know that Christ did not count himself, his equality with God, he did not count that to be anything special. That's what Paul says. He was certainly God incarnate, but he did not allow the fact that he was God incarnate to keep him from being a servant. You know what that tells me? There's not a one of us in here that's so special that we cannot be a servant. He laid aside his very presence with God in heaven, and he came and put upon himself the form of man. Says he became as a slave. Says that he humbled himself, not just in this life, but it says that he even humbled himself to death. And not just any death, he humbled himself to a sinner's death, a criminal's death, a death on the cross. This is the example in which Christ gives us to be servants. If you want to be the servant that God wants us to be as a church, we've got to make the decision that one, we're nothing special. I can serve. Two, we've got to humble ourselves. We've got to make ourselves as a servant. Put upon ourselves that mindset, that heart set, and then go forward and do whatever it is that God asks of us to do. If you're here this morning, maybe servitude is something that you struggle with. Maybe it's not that, you know, you don't feel that you're too good to serve, you just don't know how to serve. You don't maybe know what area to serve in. Maybe you've got a willing heart, just not a willing body. Well, you can come this morning, and I believe if you earnestly ask of the Lord that He would give you the motivation and the heart's desire to be the servant that you need to be, I believe He'll pour that out on you. You come this morning. Maybe you're here and you need to begin your servitude with first serving the Lord. And that's going to begin with having a personal relationship with Him. Knowing Him as your personal Lord and Savior. Asking Him to come into your heart and your life. If you're here this morning and you've never asked Christ into your life, know this. He loved you so much that He took upon Himself a sinner's death, the death of the cross, and became sin for you and I, that if we believe and trust in Him, that we might go free. That's where servitude begins, in a personal relationship with Christ. You come this morning. Father, Lord, as we close out this time of preaching, Lord, as we come to a time of response, I would ask this morning, Lord, if there's somebody here who has never known You in the free pardon of sin, that, Lord, before it's everlasting too late, they'd come and they'd be saved. Lord, Father, I would ask this morning, maybe there's somebody here amongst us, their heart is in the right place. They want to serve, but they've never really stepped forward. They've never acted out on their service or their desires. And Lord, I pray today that You would motivate them to come. That, Lord, You would motivate them to come and be obedient to the call, and that they would surrender to whatever it is that You're asking of them to do, Lord. Father, I pray that church is not about us. Lord, I pray it's about You. Lord, I pray it's never about me. And Lord, I do with all of my heart truly ask that You help me as a pastor to see that it is not about what I can do, but Lord, what You choose to do through me. And Lord, I ask personally that You help me to decrease, that You gain the increase. And Lord, that's my heart's desire for others here today. Lord, I pray that people will come and respond this morning. Be led by the Spirit. It's all this we ask in Your holy, precious name. Amen.
Let's all stand together.